So, how is everybody this morning? All right, we can do better than that. I know it's Sunday morning. I know you may have missed your sleep in or something like that, but we're in the house of God. We are allowed to make some noise. So, how is everybody this morning? There we go, much better. So, welcome to 2020. How's it started for you so far? Good, bad, bit of the same? Good? Okay, there's a few responses. Good so far is good. I find it's kind of an interesting period, the first couple of weeks of a new year. You're kind of figuring out, is it, am I glad that the past year is finished and I'm looking for a change of luck? Is it a bit like, well, it's just the same and everything's just going to keep being the same? And so we've got to figure out, like, are we excited for a new year? Is it a bit the same? I kind of look at it as it's a fresh start. Yes, it is the same because we go back to our workplaces, we go back to study if that's what we're doing. We're still a parent if you've got kids. That doesn't change just because it's a new year. But I think it's the start of a new season or a new chapter that we can look at and be a little bit excited for what's to come. And Pastor Rob just briefly shared that last week he shared on heaven's signature fragrance, of the fragrance of unity. And I think that that's a great way to start a year with getting everybody going, you know what? We're part of the body of Christ, we're part of Bayside Church, and we're moving forward together. Now for me, being 30-year-old, so I'm Gen Y, or a millennial, I love the fact that I'm in a church that has baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z. I don't know what's before baby boomers, but I'm sure we've got people that are before baby boomers as well. And I love the fact that we are cross-generational and we can learn from each other. It's all about being different people moving in the same direction. But I think also, and hopefully through my message today you see a little bit of this, I think it's important that we have unity with God as well, that we live our lives aligned with what His plans and purposes are for us. You know, He's called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And this morning I want to talk about the fact that God is not done with us, that He has something new for each and every one of us. And so if we can partner ourselves with God, come into unity with Him, we're going to see some incredible new things this year and beyond. So today, I want to challenge you to not let negative words get in the way of what God wants to say. Too often, you know, words that other people say, things that we may say over ourselves, they form like a little box around who we are. And so this morning, don't let that get in the way of what I'm going to say. So my wife Emma, a couple of weeks ago at Frankston, shared a message called Take It to the Bank. Now, the point of that message was that if God has spoken something to you, if He has promised you something, you can take that to the bank. That He is faithful. If He has promised it, He will deliver. Now, it may take a long period of time for that to happen. It may take a short period of time. But if God has said it, you can stand on that with confidence and take it to the bank. Part of what Em did was she got us to write down, what is the biggest promise that God has given you? What is the biggest promise that He's given you? She got us to write those down and consider that. And what I wrote down scares me a little bit. I'm excited by it, but it scares me a little bit. And the problem is when we start speaking about those things, we get a bit of a reality check. Kind of hits us like a train, the feeling of being unworthy, of not being good enough, all the past hurts and negative words flood in. You know, for you, you might be fearful or scared. You might think because of your age, oh, that's just not going to happen. That's not going to come through. Maybe it's a doctor's report or an ailment or baggage and bondage you can't shake. Maybe you feel like you're drowning in guilt or shame. Today, I want you to take captive those thoughts. Because the truth is, no one is too far gone, too far removed, too immature, too inconsistent, too hurt, or too stuck to receive the blessings and the favor of God. Amen. Amen. We're not too far gone. And so the title of my message today is God's Not Done With You. Wonderful. And that's a promise, and that's something we can all stand on, that God is not done with any of us. So let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love and for your faithfulness to Your promises. I pray that You would speak through me today, Lord God, and minister to all of us with Your truth, Lord God, and help us to see that You love us and that You are not done with us. In Jesus' name, Amen. So this is the time of year when resolutions are talked about and considered. Has anybody made any resolutions this year or in the past? There's a few, yeah. So I haven't made any this year. I've made some in the past and inevitably pretty much fail. I either get bored, I forget about them, or my heart isn't in it. But I do find resolutions really interesting because I feel like they speak to where we are at. You know, we start to plan around them, at least at the beginning. Like if we want more rest time or more time to relax, we get the diary out and we go, right, this time on this day and this week, I'm going to make sure I've got some me time to rest. Maybe it's less junk food, so we make a point of going out less or using Uber Eats or menu log less. I probably need to consider that sometimes. But whatever it is that we actually plan it in, that's what resolutions do. Unless you're me, and I think that probably part of the reason why I forget them or I get bored is that I'm not a planner, so I don't plan these things in. There's a TV show, NCIS, if you've seen it, one of the main characters, Gibbs, he's known for his gut and going by his gut, and he's pretty much always right. Now, I go by my gut on most things. Em will probably tell you that I'm not right all the time. Even if I want to think that I am, I'm not right. Or you can surprise me, but like Kate, I don't like being controlled, so you can surprise me as long as I'm in control. So it's kind of a bit like, where does this all work? Where do resolutions work? But why am I laboring this? Good question, thank you for asking. I find that it's at the start of the year where we are most willing to make bold declarations for the year ahead. You know, and what we want to do. We have a list of things we want to achieve, and so we try and plan that in. We try and orchestrate the ability to make these things that we want to do happen. But often we end up disappointed from the weight of expectation, yeah? Whether it's our own expectation on, oh, I'm going to tick this off this year, whether it's I'm going to read the Bible through the year, or I'm going to give up soft drink. I tried doing that a couple of years ago and got about 2 months in and that was done. Em got the whole year, so she did really well. But sometimes I think we focus so much on the things that we want and that other people may want for us that we actually lose sight of the truth. We lose sight of the truth of who we are as children of God because of situations, words, and the expectations of ourselves and others. And there's nothing inherently wrong with resolutions because we, you know, they're positive steps that we want to make, but we need to also not just focus on the external, but the internal and realize we are children of God and God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. And we can't get lost in these other things and forget about what God has. So I think today we just need to stop, to breathe, to pause, and to listen to what God is saying. So what is God speaking to you in this moment? You know, as a year wraps up, Em and I spend a little bit of time in prayer with God to find a word that He has for us for the coming year. And so my word this year is advance. Now, I've got no idea what that looks like, what that means. I'm just like, okay, God, this is what you want to do. We're advancing in something, so let's go with it. But I think that this is part of the journey with God is and for me, Enneagram type 8, control freak, it's hard to sometimes just lay it down and go, okay, God, do what you want. But we're going to see the most freedom, the most victory, the most deliverance, all of these things, the most blessings and favor when we can actually go, you know what, God, here's all of me. Here's all of what I do. Take this, use this for your glory, do what you want to do. And it is really, really hard. It is hard. But if we can do that, we make the space to hear from our good Father, and we make the space for Him to move in us. So my first point today is God is doing a new thing. And we can stand on that. God is doing a new thing. And this is exciting. You know, I think with resolutions, we too often try to be the coach when we need to be the player listening to the coach. You know, if you've been in any team situation, you know the coach has come up with a strategy on this is how we're going to beat our opponents, this is how we're going to grow and be successful as a team. But when a player decides to go rogue and that thinks that they know better and puts the coach's hat on, inevitably it falls apart. So we need to be willing to be a player and not be a coach and listen to what God has to say. You know, in Isaiah 43, it says, "Behold, I do a new thing, declares the Lord." You know, he spoke a path out of Israel's 70-year captivity and into freedom and into restoration. God was calling his people out from the old and into the new. And I feel like that this is a prophetic declaration for us as a church and as a people of God, that God is calling us out of the old and into the new. The old has gone and the new has come. Are you ready for the new thing that he wants to do? Are you ready for the new thing that he is doing, church? If you've got your Bibles, I want you to get those out. These will be on the screen as well. I've got two scriptures in Isaiah that I want to read. So the first one comes in Isaiah 42, and it's verses 10 to 13. And it says, "Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea with all that fills it, you coasts and islands with your inhabitants. Let the desert and its cities shout. Let the settlements where Kedar dwells cry aloud. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them cry out from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coasts and the islands. The Lord advances like a warrior. He stirs up his zeal like a soldier. He shouts, he roars aloud. He prevails over his enemies." I think that's pretty amazing, that piece of scripture. And then in Isaiah 43, you've got verses 18 and 19, where it says, "Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." I think that there is some incredible promises and some fantastic imagery in those verses, that God is ready to do a new thing. Are we ready for that? You know, Isaiah 42, verse 9, which we didn't read then, it says, "Former things have taken place, and new things I declare." God is declaring that there are new things for all of us. He is not done with you, church. God is not done with us. The past has happened with all its baggage, but that doesn't have to be our future. You know, I think about when we're in a car and we're driving. Obviously, we've got our windscreen, which we're looking out of, but we've also got a little rear vision mirror that we need to look through. But if we spent the entire time driving, looking through the rear vision mirror, we're going to veer off course, we're going to crash, we're going to have an accident, it's not going to end well. It's there for us to remember the past, but not to be imprisoned by it and not to be focused on it. We've got this massive windscreen to look through because we've got to look ahead, look at what is new, what is coming. And so God is saying, do not get caught up in the things of the past, but be ready for something new. And I love that it says, sing a new song. Sing a new song. What is the song in your heart that you want to sing? I feel like I'm kind of on happy feet right now where they're singing their heart songs and everything talking about this, but sing a new song. Raise a battle cry against the enemy and his schemes, because that keeps us bound in the past, keeps us bound in the negative thoughts, keeps us bound in these things. We need to sing praise. Like David, when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, he praised before the presence of God, not waited till the presence of God came in and did something, but he was dancing and praising before the presence of God because he was expectant for what God was going to do. So church, get excited for the something new that God wants to do in us. You know, the past can be a prison, which is why we need to sing a new song. It's why we need to sing praise and find that hope, find that joy, find God in all of these moments. Yeah. Don't get stuck so far in the past that you lose sight of what God is doing today. Amen. You know, 2019 had some great moments for me. I think to men's retreat as a really big one, not just from the connection and the fun and the friendship, but also there was this profound moment on the Saturday night for me, and the guys that were there will probably know what I'm talking about right now. Last time I preached, I said that Em and I are having a battle to conceive, and Andrew Holden was praying. He and I and a few of the other guys on the prophetic team were going around praying, and he comes up to me and goes, "Jimmy, I really feel this sense to pray for guys who are struggling to conceive." Pretty much broke me at that point. He didn't know that. And I'm like, okay, God, what do you want to do? And so it ended up with pretty much all the guys there praying over me and Em. And I've never felt the presence of God like that. And like Pastor Rob said before, you can achieve so much in a camp by being there, by positioning yourself in that place. I think to moments in camps in my life, and some of the most incredible and most profound moments in my Christian walk have been by setting aside a time to go on a camp, even if it's inconvenient or whatever it is. And I want to say, we haven't advertised this on screen yet. I think it is in what's on, so I'm going to say it anyway. On the Sunday afternoon, we're having a baptism service at camp. For those that want to be baptized and haven't been baptized, you know, we want to make a space on camp, because camp is about spending time with God and making those moments count when we position ourselves with God. So if you haven't been baptized and you're considering it, if you can't come for the whole camp, come Sunday afternoon, be dunked with your church family there, because that is going to be an incredible moment. Yeah. So that was the good for me in 2019. And like all of us, we have good moments. We have some not so good moments. So at the start of 2019, my parents separated. For some, that may not be a big thing, because there's a lot of other things going on in your life and in the world. We hear of separation all the time. But for me, it rocked me. You see, we lived in 13 different houses before I turned 18. I'd been to 7 different schools through primary school and high school. But the one constant that I had in that time was my parents' marriage. And so it turned me upside down for a little bit. You know, for 29 years they'd been married, and then all of a sudden, nothing. And it rocks us, and it has an effect. And all of us will have been on mountaintops and in valleys last year and all through the decade, but we can't hang on to that and let it imprison us. We need to be able to get free of that. You know, maybe it's past hurt and rejection. Maybe it's past experiences and people have hurt you or let you down. Maybe it's past guilt and shame and embarrassment. You know, one for me, like, I love my footy, and I was an okay player, and I got an injury when I was 16, 17 that meant I couldn't play footy anymore. And one of my last games of footy I played is one of my most embarrassing moments in my life. House footy, so at my school there were 8 houses, so it got pretty heated and pretty competitive when it came to house sports. And we made the house footy grand final. There's not long to go. I take the mark, siren goes, about to have a shot, line it up going, got the whole school here, I'm going to be a hero, like, everybody's going to love me. I come in and my foot gets caught, and the ball bounces in front of my foot and rolls over, and I have a complete and utter air swing in front of the entire school. And that's a lasting memory for me, because that is one of the last games of footy that I played, and that is one of the last moments for me on a footy field. And yeah, that took a little while to get over. That stung for a bit. But even aside from the embarrassment and the negative things, even our past glories can imprison us. Like, when God is talking to the people in Isaiah, he's saying, don't just focus on the past good things that I've done. I've got something new that I want to do as well. Don't get caught up on the past good things. I mean, when we're in a workplace, or even with, you know, kids with parents, we can be like, well, yeah, okay, I've made a mistake here, but remember this time, remember this time, remember all of these good things that I've done makes up for that. We can't get stuck in the bad, but we can't also get stuck in the good. Remember it, but be ready for the new thing that God wants to do. Yeah. And sometimes the former things are comfortable. You know, if you're a person of comfort, sometimes there is comfortable because you can control that. You can control what's in the past and how you're feeling. If you have to let go of hurt and rejection, and that's something that you've held on to for so long, it can be a scary prospect going, well, now what do I do? Like, how do I live free from that? I mean, I want you to get free because it's so good being free of these things and letting God work. But sometimes it's really hard. But don't let yourself be imprisoned by the past. Don't forget it. Remember the lessons. But don't be so focused on the past that you miss the new thing that God wants to do. And it is hard sometimes. You know, sometimes we disqualify ourselves from the blessings of God and from being used by Him. Thing is, church, God doesn't call the qualified. None of us are qualified when He calls us. We are sinners saved by grace. We are washed clean by the blood. We're not qualified, but as we journey with God, as we let Him move in our lives, He qualifies us. He calls us and then He qualifies us to live out our calling. So if you're sitting here going, I'm a nobody, I don't know what I'm doing. If God has called you, He has a purpose and a plan for you. So trust that. Trust that. He is our champion. He is our warrior. Like He did when He parted the Red Sea, when He brought down the walls of Jericho, He will fight for us because He is not done with any of us. None of us are too far gone. As God says, new things I declare. And I really love in Isaiah 43 where it also says, now it shall spring forth. Like, think of the imagery. The new thing is going to spring forth in our lives and in our church. We've got to be ready for that. Are we ready and excited for this new thing to spring forth and whatever that looks like? The thing is, are we expecting God to do a new thing? Or are we so stuck in the past and going, God can't use me, God can't do any of this? Let's shift our perspective. Let's get ready, get excited for the new thing that God wants to do. See what He is doing. He's always moving, He's always creating, always speaking life, and always doing something new. And He wants to partner with us. How cool is that? Like, He wants to partner with us. Who loves new things? Like, I'm not talking the, it's broken, I'm going to wrap it up with duct tape and say it's as good as new because we know that duct tape can fix most things. I'm not saying that, I'm talking proper new. You know, I love new clothes, and so jacket, shirt, got for Christmas, rolling them out this weekend. It's nice. I said to Pastor Christy last night, she was like, oh, the jacket's nice, the shirt's nice. I'm like, yeah, I'm 30 now. I should probably start dressing like a grown-up. Probably about time that happens. You know, I love new TV shows. I love new footy seasons. I talked about loving footy. I love it when a new footy season rolls around. Mad Geelong supporter, followed footy all my life, so I love it when footy season comes. And also because it's winter and I like the cold. I'm different, I know. I like finding new restaurants, particularly, you know, if they cook a good steak or something like that. I love finding a good new restaurant. I love new practical jokes. Look, I like old ones, the old ones that are good too, but I like finding some new ones. And this is a little bit embarrassing, but it's okay. I find goats hilarious. So I love finding new videos of goats that are doing silly things or that are fainting and all of that. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. There is just something about goats that make me laugh and it's amazing. And so I encourage you, go on YouTube and look up fainting goats. You will get a laugh. You will get a laugh. They just walk around and then they just go stiff and fall over. And then they get back up. It's literally a type of goat and they just do that. It's hilarious. Sorry, I'm sidetracking, but it's really funny. There is just something that makes you smile and that screams of hope and opportunity with the word new. Am I right? You get something new and it makes you smile. You want to use it. You want to wear it. But when it comes to God, why does new bring trepidation? Why does that bring fear? Why does that bring a little bit of stress going, oh gosh, what's going on now? Let's get just as excited, if not more excited, for the new things that God wants to do as we are with the new things that we may receive. He is asking us to respond to his hand of preparation and purpose in our lives, in our church, and in our community. Yes, they can be uncomfortable, but in him and his plans, we can find joy. We can find freedom. We can find victory. So let's not avoid change. Let's not let the past just keep running over and over and over and over and over in our minds, but let's see the new thing that God wants to do. So what is the new thing he's wanting to do in you? Maybe it's to spend more time in the Word. Maybe it's to intercede for people and to start praying, to start using those gifts that you've got. Maybe it's to get involved in a ministry at church. Maybe it's to sign up and come on church camp. That's a new thing because we haven't done one before. So that's a new thing that we can all partner with. Maybe it's to join a connect group. Maybe it's you've got this neighbor that you know, you've interacted with a few times and you felt this little push from the Holy Spirit to invite them over for coffee or to tell them that God loves them. Maybe this new thing is for you to step out of your comfort zone and go and tell somebody that God loves them. Maybe you want to be mentored. Maybe you want to invest your wisdom into somebody. Maybe these are new things that God wants to do in you. It could be big or small, but God wants to do something new in and through all of us. You may think he can't, but the fact is that God has used a burning bush. He has used a talking donkey. And so he can most certainly use those who are made in his image, which is all of us. Right. What is the new thing he is calling you into? You know, I see new opportunities for personal growth and for church growth this year. I see new opportunities for the gospel to be shared and taught. For business owners, I'm seeing new opportunities with new clients, new favor, new strategies to build your business. For those seeking employment or not sure whether they're in the right place, I'm believing for new opportunities to knock at your door. I'm believing for new breakthrough and provision in finances. I'm believing for relationships to be restored and made new where they haven't been in the past. I see new revelation of who God is to us and of who we are in him. I see new ways to courageously love. I see new favor for all of us. You know, God has ordained the steps we will take. He goes before us and he goes with us. Yeah. You know, he will breathe life into the dry bones in our lives. I'm seeing for our church and particularly for Pastor Rob and Christy, new outlets of spiritual influence and authority in our city and in our country so that we can spread the love of God. Talk about courageously loving people around us. I see new things for all of us, and I declare new things for all of us. And I do so in confidence because God himself has said, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." Amen. Now, at the start of last year, Pastor Rob shared a prophecy over Bayside Church. It's on the website under Rob's blog. I think it's a prophetic word for Bayside Church. A couple of key highlights. Haggai 2:9, it says, "The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house." He's doing a new thing in our church. Are we ready for it? Are we excited for it? We can take this promise to the bank and stand on it. Pastor Rob spoke of a new revelation, of new people coming along, of new transformation, of new connect groups. And now we have a new vision for 2020 and beyond. For once in my life, I have 2020 vision. It's so good. Good. This was a better response than last night too. There were actually a few laughs this morning. So it's good. I've been waiting months to roll that one out. So it's good. I've got there, survived it, done it 3 times now. And this has probably been the best response of the lot. So it's good. I'm really happy with that. But our new vision, in all seriousness, to courageously love and empower people to become like Jesus. He's given us a new vision and he's bringing new people along, and he is doing a new thing in us for our church and for our community. That is something that we can get excited about, church. We can get excited about that. So he's doing a new thing, and we can trust that because of what he has done in us. So give yourselves permission to dream God dreams, to seek his face, to find the something new that he wants to do. So point two, and now my second and third points are a lot shorter, so we'll get through these quick, so it's all good. So point two, we are a new creation. I want you to say this out loud because I want you to speak this over yourself. I want you to say, I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Come on, we can do better than that.
I am a new creation.
Good. We are a new creation. I'm a new creation. All of you are a new creation. And we need to see that as being who we are. Like a frog who was transformed into a prince through a kiss, so have we been made new through the love of God. If you've got your Bible, we've got 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." Redemption is the restoration and fulfillment of God's purposes in creation. In Christ, all things are restored and made new, even us. Whatever you may think of yourself, you are made new in Christ. No matter what we have done or where we have been, those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and we are made new. That is a promise of God, and that is truth. So I want you guys to get that today. I'm laboring it because I feel like there's some people here that need to hear. You are a new creation. Doesn't matter what's gone on, you are a new creation, and you can have confidence in that. And he is not done with us. You might be going, "That's easy to say, Jimmy, but I just can't see it. I'm tired, I'm old, I'm not eloquent, I'm not gifted, I don't feel like I'm good enough, I'm incapable, I'm just a kid, I'm a nobody." You know, I know how you might be feeling. Over the years, I've had lots of things spoken to and about me. I've been told I'm useless, that I'm a failure, I'm not gifted, I will amount to nothing, that I may as well just give up on everything because nothing good is ever going to happen. I know these feelings. I understand. I got to the point where succeeding felt so wrong because I was so used to hearing these negative things that I believed them as truth and fact. I believed that failure was what I was doing. And so if success came, it was like, okay, this feels wrong. Like, what do I do now? And it's hard to be in that place. So I understand if you're imprisoned by those words, I understand what it feels like. But then Jesus came along. And by no means was the change easy. It took time. But I now know I am a new creation. I'm not what those people spoke. I'm not the things that I spoke over myself. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so are all of you. And if we can accept this, it will help us to believe, to see and accept the new thing that God wants to do. So hear who he says that you are. Listen to the truth rather than the reasons why not. All those reasons people have given you, don't listen to those. Listen to the truth of God. And his spirit and strength in us allows us to step out of the boat and to take his promises to the bank. Amen. He is not done with us. As spirit-filled believers, we have the ability to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to set the captives free, to break the chains of bondage. We can do this, for his power is made perfect in weakness. And if you haven't heard this for a little while, maybe you're feeling unloved, maybe you're feeling worthless, maybe you're feeling like not a good church person. What even is a good church person? Maybe you're feeling this way. I want you to know you are still a child of God. You are still loved by God. You are still saved by his grace. You still have a purpose and a plan for your life in him. Hear this today. You are loved, and God is not done with you. We have read that God declares he is doing a new thing. And in his word, it says we are made new, a new creation. And he is not a liar, because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is El Shaddai, the Almighty. And he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is our healer, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the King of glory, and he is not done with any of us. Amen. Hallelujah. All of those things. He is not done with us. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I know it's old school, but we need to declare it sometimes. I understand what it's like to be stuck in negative thoughts, negative words, thinking you're not good enough and not confident. I question my, every time I get up here, I go, God, have I heard you right? And I'm constantly going, have I heard you right, God? Am I saying the right thing? You know, I'm not always confident and assured. And that coming from an Enneagram 8 is a big thing, but it is what it is. But I have now, you know, I've now come to realize that God is who he says he is. And what he says he will do, he will do. I believe in God. I believe in his Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that in Christ I am a new creation, that I am set free, and in Christ I am saved. And I hope that all of you can see that today. Because point three, if God says it, we can believe it. Take it to the bank and let it be so. He loves us, we are a new creation, and he is doing something new. In Genesis 12, verses 1 to 4, me, you guys, you can put that up and just flick through it. I'm not going to read it. But in this story, God calls Abram out of a situation here where he's in an established community. And then at 75 years old, God says to him, right, I want you to pack up all your things, pack up your family, and go to this new place. So a new place that is completely unsettled. So he's going basically on a wandering journey with God, and God has called him out at 75. That's interesting. I'm like, if I was 75 and God said, right, pack up all your things and pack up all your family, I'm taking you to this place where there's nobody, I'd be like, yeah, cool, God. What's that going to look like? Like, really? You want to do that? But Abraham trusted. Abraham was like, you are my God, and I'm going to trust you. And we see in verses 2 and 3 that there are 7 promises of God. And so his original blessing over humanity is directly fulfilled in Abraham and his descendants, which is us. And we read in verse 4 that he was 75 years old at this point. So he's 75, he's got a barren wife, but he's going to be the father of nations. How does that work? And even then, it was another 25 years before Isaac was born. And then we have Rahab, who was a prostitute, but in the genealogy of Jesus and in Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, she is listed. David was a murderer and an adulterer, but a man after God's own heart. Peter was there for Jesus through all of his ministry, denies him, but was the rock on which the church was built. Doesn't matter if you've made mistakes, if you've drifted from God, if you've forgotten his promises to you, if you failed at different things, or if you haven't lived up to your calling, because God hasn't given up on you and he never will. God is not done with us. He died on a cross for all of us because he loves us. So focus yourself on him. Even if you don't see it, he's working. Even if you don't feel it, he's working. Even if we don't believe it, God is moving, he is working, and he is doing a new thing because he is not done with us. We are at the edge of the old season and we have two choices. We either go back and live in the past, or we take a leap of faith and jump into the new season and the new chapter of our lives with him. So who's ready to embrace the new thing that God wants to do? In 2020 and beyond, may our entire lives, our thoughts, our words, our feelings, and our actions be a living expression of who we believe God is and what we're believing he will do. Let's begin this new decade free of the weight of the past. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to see the cross before you. I want you to come before it and leave at the foot the hurts, the fears, the guilt, the shame, the failures, the pride, all of those things. Anything that has imprisoned you in the past, leave it at the foot of the cross. Now I want you to breathe deeply a couple of times. Just relax yourself. Put yourself in that space to hear from God. What are the new things he is speaking to you about? He says, ask and you will receive. So ask for revelation of this new thing. Leave behind the reasons and the excuses of why not. Leave behind that I'm not good enough, or I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm hurting, I don't know how to do it. Leave behind those and trust him. He is not done with you.